Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
The book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17, starting at verse number 8. When you have it, say amen. If you can please stand for the honoring as we read God's word, let's honor God's word. Amen. All right, they got it on the screen. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to move. 1 Kings chapter number 17, starting at verse number 8. And the word of the Lord reads, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And you can go ahead and be seated. I'm going to work my way through the end of this chapter in Jesus' mighty name. Familiar passage of scripture. And before we get into this particular scripture, as you move over to verse chapter number 16, we have now on the scene various kings who are rising to authority and where they're ascending to the throne of Israel, right? And then last to be, we understand that King Ahab, and he begins to marry Jezebel. So she was an enemy of the prophets, those being the mouthpiece of God, those who would speak and declare what thus saith the Lord. She wanted to silence the mouth because she herself, Jezebel, was a false prophet, someone who's speaking false things concerning another God, right? And so as we move into this particular chapter, you know, this man, the God, a prophet of the Lord, is getting ready to God is sending him on an assignment, right? And so the thing is, we understand that as a prophet, you sometimes, as prophets, you understand prophets are people who live lonely lives. They're not so much in gatherings per se, with the exception of where you find you have the school of the prophets in scripture, whatever the case. But typically you find prophets, they live a lonely life. And so that can be very, very brutal for a prophet himself, or a prophetess for that matter, right? Where you feel that you are misunderstood all the time. And in particular, when you have to speak nothing but the truth to God, people will hate you for the truth that you will bring to them. Mind you, you're just a messenger of what God is telling you to say to this individual, right? And the thing is, you're only saying what God has been speaking to this person, what they tend to ignore anyhow, right? And you just serve as a natural confirmation, speaking what God is saying to this individual, right? But, you know somebody, can you believe, where you came to bear truth to somebody and they hated you for the truth that you brought to them? Mind you, it is the truth that we all know that I'm speaking about you, but the fact that I'm speaking it about you, you want to kill me, or you want to disown me, or you want to have nothing else to do with me because I had to speak a truth about you. Right? And see, a lot of times when they talk about prophets, they feel prophets don't get checked, or nobody or speaking truth about prophets. Understand, God is speaking the truth to prophets all day, every day. And a lot of times God is dealing with that individual before God sends them to come deal with you. Because they must be right in order to speak the holy oracles or the holy words of God unto you. They must be right. God is not going to send an impure vessel to speak holy vessels or pure words from his mouth to you. So they must be right. You know what I'm saying? But that's the thing. We try to figure out whether or not the prophets are being checked. We try to figure out whether or not God is dealing with them or whether or not somebody's telling them the truth. Yes, God tells us the truth. Hard truths. Difficult truths. Some truths we don't even understand. Right? Some truth that challenges down in our core. Some truth that will make us lay on the floor and cry almost all night.
All right.
Yeah. There's nobody there to rub our back and console us and tell us it's going to be all right. We have to deal with the truth that God told us. And if, fortunately, if God feels the need to say it's going to be all right, he does it at his own pleasure. He doesn't always say it's going to be all right. He gives us an instruction and expects us to carry it out. Right?
So understand, we're now here. What Lord has given him provision to go, giving him a commandment to go, right? And so as we get into verse number 8, it says what? And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, what is the word of the Lord coming unto you saying? Whether the word of the Lord comes by way of dream, whether it comes by way of vision, whether it comes by you get into this book and keep your eyes out of Facebook, what is the word of the Lord saying unto you when it comes to you? Or whether God sends a vessel, that being a man or woman of God, what is the word of the Lord saying unto you when it comes? Because we understand when the word comes, it's not coming to be silent. The word is coming to deal with something. It is coming to express something about what God wants to say to you. Whether God is trying to give you instruction or whether God is giving you direction, what is the word of the Lord saying when it comes unto you? And so the title of the message that we're going to be dealing with, it is called The Measure of the Man. What measure of man are you, or what measure of woman are you?
Jesus.
Now, this is the thing. I begin to look at some quotes as I look at this, right? In particular, one of the most famous quotes is by our very own Dr. Martin Luther King, where he says what? He says, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. That's measuring where a man is. What would you do, you know, in an uncomfortable situation? When you're being challenged, how would you measure up? As a man or as a woman. And see, for us to be measured, we're measured alongside Jesus Christ. He's our measuring stick. Now, simply put, we know we'll never be able to accomplish what he's accomplished. You know, never be able to do those things that he did, right? In other words, what I'm talking about is I cannot die on the cross for nobody and expect them to be saved. Now, you understand what I'm saying? But I like the fact that Jesus said, greater works ye shall do, right? So there are some things that we're going to do, but we're going to do greater than what he did. But I cannot, neither can you, get up on the cross and die for anybody and expect them to be saved. Can't do that. You understand what I'm saying? So understand that right there. There's another quote, right? Plato talks about the measure of a man is what he does with power. How do you handle the power? Plato, according to Plato, would determine your measure. The measure, you as a man or you as a woman. How you handle the power. Right? There's another quote that says the true measure of a man, and this is by Lord Kelvin. The true measure of a man is what he would do if he knew he would never get caught.
Jesus.
For some of us, that's us. Your integrity level is real, real low. You understand what I'm saying? If I wouldn't get caught, there are a whole lot of things that I would do in secret. So it determines the measure of man or the measure of woman that. Another one is Peter Nivio Zarlinga. He says the measure of a man is the way he bears up on the misfortune. When loss hits your life, when the unexpected events hit your life, he's saying, this is how you're being measured. How do you bounce back?
Jesus.
Hey, you understand what I'm saying? A couple years ago, Cleveland had to bounce back. You know, when LeBron took his talents to South Beach, Miami. But when he came back, you know what I'm saying? They were trying to figure out how they was going to bounce back. You know, yeah, that's a whole message in and of itself right there.
All right.
Oh, because without LeBron, Cleveland was suffering. And we see that in OKC without KD, they suffering. Lord, help the Thunder, right? Help the Thunder right now, please, God, because I like Paul George and I like Russell Westbrook and I like Carmelo. Help them, God. They need all the help in the world right now. Go pray for them, man. But how do you bounce back from certain situations that happen in your life? So we're talking about the measure of a man, the measure of a woman. I got some other quotes, but I got a little bit of time, so I got the roll, right? Give me verse number 9. It says what? It says arise. And this is the instruction. When the word of the Lord came, this is what the Lord was saying. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. What God understood, there was a solution already to your problem. He understood the widow woman was going to be the man of God's solution. But in like manner, the man of God was going to be the widow woman's solution. I'm about to kill two birds with one stone. I'm about to allow y'all to help one another. I'm about to let both of y'all be each one another's solution, right? And so he had to follow the instruction, arise and get thee to this place. I'm about to let a widow, she don't have no husband, she doing all the providing for her and her son. Now, the scripture doesn't give us a clear, accurate detail age of how old the son is, right? So it's safe to say that he's a young boy. The mother's doing all the providing for the son, right? So now, when you think about this, not only is she providing for her and her son, she's also going to now have to provide for a full-grown man at the direction of the Lord.
All right.
Some of us, we feel like, you know, I'm going to talk to y'all, some of y'all single parents who, you know, because don't nobody understand your situation. It's real hard. It's difficult. And the truth be told, it is being a single parent. Right? But you know what? A lot of times people forget that there are single fathers out there. All fathers are not deadbeat dads. There were some single fathers out there who holding it down, and you got some crazy mothers out there, you know what I'm saying, who don't want to do nothing for their children.
We're going
to tell the truth. You understand what I'm saying? But then I understand there's some single mothers out there who are trying to play the role of the father and the mother. Let me stop it right there, because you can never be a man. Just be a mommy. That's where you mess up right there, trying to be a mommy. Because guess what? When you're trying to play the role of the father and the mother, at some point you realize when this young boy gets about 12 years old, you start telling yourself, there's some stuff I can't even teach him. True. True. Go to the next verse, right? I want to make sure I ain't. He talk about this sustaining, right? So he's saying in the Hebrew, he's talking about she's going to make provision. God is going to use her to make provision for him. But in like manner, God is going to also use him to make provision for her, right? Sustain also talks about it in the Hebrew, talks about measure. When God looked at this widow woman, God has measured her to see whether or not she can handle this task that will be placed in her hands. And in like manner, God has measured the man of God to see if he can handle this task. Because my thing is, widow, it didn't say how old she was. He's a single man. You understand? Living in this attached room built on her house. You understand? Hey, lonely nights. Her flesh might be a little itchy. His flesh might be a little itchy. But yet, you know what I'm saying? You got to walk in integrity while the little boy sleep. You know what I'm saying? So I creep. Yeah, you know, you understand? So I creep. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Because nowadays, many men of God, they creep. They creep. And still will get up and preach. They creep. And will still get up and prophesy. They creep and will still get up and lay hands on some folk. Oh, yes, they would. They creep and will still say they holy and they in right standing with God. The devil is a lie. But that's the truth that we have to deal with. No matter because we men of God or you a woman of God, guess what? You still have this thing called your flesh that you wrestle with, which we talking about. You still have your desires and you still have your passions that you wrestle with every single day. Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter because you read your word. The truth be told, if you don't get in your word enough and you don't pray enough, baby, your flesh will take over you and you'll be driven by your flesh or you'll be driven by your emotions, not being led by the Spirit. So God is going to allow this woman of God to sustain the man of God, but in like manner, he's going to allow him to sustain her, right? So he's looking at, okay, being able to take care of him as the total man. God is going to allow her to make provision for him as being a total man. All right? So it says, so he arose and he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel. Now, this is the thing. She already has a mindset. About to go get these sticks, cook this last little meal. Me and my son about to die together. Well, who's to say the little boy want to die? You speaking for both of them. The boy be like, mama, you can die. You already done live your life. Sure, I'll make my way. I'll take my chance. See, that's going to be, mama, you can die, but I'm going to take my chances. Out here in the woods, I'm going to take my chances. I'm going to lay down and die. I don't even know how long that's going to take. I don't even know if we're going to actually die. Who wants to take that chance? I don't want to take that chance.
All right.
You got me weak in here by not feeding me. Then what if a wild animal run up in this little hut? I can't even defend myself because I'm malnourished. Yeah, I be thinking about stuff like this, like, hold up. I mean, you getting the stick to prepare a fire, out of all them sticks, you just gonna get two? Why not get five just in case a wild animal comes so we can have a stick to protect ourselves? Come on now. Mama!
Right.
See, that's how I'll be talking to my mama. Mama! Like, I ain't ready to die yet.
All right.
Right? So it says what? So he arose and he went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering her sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel that I may drink. Get in this water so he can be refreshed. I need to be refreshed. She already has an agenda. And here he comes messing up her agenda. Talking about, get me some water. Get me some water. Now, this woman probably out here sweating, picking up sticks, looking for sticks, sweating, you know what I'm saying? Head wrap on her head, got on all these long sleeve, you know what type of clothes they wore. And he been all incensed, gonna talk about, get me some water. Now, some of y'all women would have cussed them out right there. So, oh, some of y'all would have cussed them out right there. I know you playing with me. I know you playing with me. You don't even know me. How you going to? Some of y'all would have went with the Holy Snap. I know you playing. I'm trying to get these sticks for me and my son so we can die. And you got in there telling myself, get you some water. Some of y'all would have went straight project on her. What you talking about? You ain't my man. You know how some of y'all, you ain't my man. You know how some of y'all pop your mouth. Y'all pop your mouth, make that noise with your mouth. I said, you know, you real hood, round, you straight up round the way. Like LL say, oh yes. When you doing all of that? But he said, refresh me. When you hear an instruction, can you just follow the instruction? Regardless of who give you the instruction, I'm going to talk about this because you know what? God, I was doing a talk word yesterday morning, sometime last week. And one of the talk words I was teaching, God began to deal with me. He said, listen, if it is not contrary to my word, he said, I understand, use discretion with children. But whoever gives you an instruction, if it's not contrary to my word, can you just do it? I said, nope. Because the truth be told, I have certain people that I will obey. Come on, y'all not gonna help me. There are certain people that you only obey. Yeah, you're gonna say, I obey God. I obey apostle. You might halfway obey me. And I obey my mom. You halfway obey your mom and you halfway obey your daddy. But don't let one of your peers tell you something that's right. It's not contrary to God's word. Can you do it? See, my thing was, God, I just want to obey. He said, if you really want to obey, if anybody gives you an instruction that is not contrary to my word, can you do it? I said, you got me right there. I only obey certain people. Stop telling me then that you want to obey them. Because, you know, you'll swear you're so obedient because you swear or you think or believe that you obey God. I know it is. You think you obey God. But if God really had to run down the list of what he gave you, you ain't did a third of what God said. So he's trying to figure out what measure a man or what measure a woman you are. Because he said, if you love me, oh, y'all not going to help me today. This thing is getting hard in here. Used to be there, finish it. He said, obey me. I'm gonna help myself. He said, if you love me, then you would obey me. So he measures your love according to your obedience. So you've been measured all the time. So he's going to determine what type of man you are. He's going to determine what type of woman you are. You are being measured all the time. She don't know this, man. He just said, can you give me a drink to refresh me? Right? I mean, he says, what? She said, and as she was going to fetch it, she asked no question. Let me just do it. Put my agenda to the side and let me just obey. Right? And see, that's the thing. Too many times our agendas are too important to us that we can't stop what we're doing to do what God has instructed us to do. All right. Well, I don't know if it's God. Did you pray? Too many times we have that excuse, well, I don't know if it was God. What you mean you don't know if it was God? Dang, it got real quiet right there. And she was going to fetch it. He called her and said, bring my prayer there, morsel of bread in thy hand. Let me see how good you can multitask. Why are you going to get me some water and do this right here? Because see, some of us will get mad when another instruction is placed upon us. When more than one thing is given to us, oh, we're going to see exactly just how humble you are. We're going to see exactly how yielded you are. We're going to see exactly how submitted you are. Because you know what I found out? When you give folk a direct instruction, they get mad.
That's right.
Folk always want to volunteer. Hey, I'll do this. No, I don't need that. I need this. That's why I say do this. Why you got an excuse about what I say when I say do this? And you want to bring something else into the equation. I don't need that. I need this right here. But it shows us truly where our hearts are. Truly where our minds are. We're not yielded like we think we are. We're not submitted like we think we are. Because we always have a suggestion.
Jesus.
Another option. We always have an opinion. But look at this woman. She went. Didn't say a mumbling word as she went. He said, and he called and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand, right? Go to the next. She said, what? And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not cake, but a handful of meal in the barrel. I only got enough for me and my son, right? She said, and a little oil in the cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat and die. My agenda is to cook this food and then die. But yet here is somebody giving her an instruction in the middle of her agenda. Breaking up your plans. Because simply put, she's saying, I'm giving up. Do you know somebody, can you really? Have you ever been there where you felt like giving up? We don't have enough to make it. Life ain't did nothing but throw us curveballs. I'm tired of getting the short end of the stick. I'm tired of being laughed at. I'm tired of being criticized. I'm tired of not having enough. You know what? It is just easier to quit. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Rather than press on and see what the end is going to be, it is easier to just throw in the towel. It is easier to just quit. So you know what? Our mind is made up. Matter of fact, I made up my mind for the little boy. We just going to die. But God had another agenda. While you thinking about giving up, God, because I recognize what's in you. You don't even realize the measure of strength that you have. Some of us don't even realize the measure of hope that's on the inside of you, the measure of endurance or tenacity that abides on the inside of you. Because we've allowed situations to blind us to what's on the inside of us, right? Give me 13, this is what? And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. Right? Don't be afraid. Go ahead and go with your little plan right now. Go get the little meal to prepare this cake and go get the little oil. Go ahead and do that. But, make me thereof a little cake first. Now, I just told you, I only have enough for me and my son. And then you say, make yours first. Right? Then you say, bring it to me. Then you go make you and your son stuff. So you want me to take care of you when my agenda was to take care of me and my son, then we give up and die. But you saying, no, make your stuff first, then come serve you, and then go tend to me and my son. Right? If that ain't enough to make somebody catch a charge right there.
All right.
Yeah, I'm just saying, right? That's enough to make me catch a charge.
All right.
I will have a record for the rest of my life. Unless God see fit to let somebody expunge it, I will have a record for the rest of my life.
Right now.
I was telling Pastor Ivan, I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I've been having random thoughts of violence. Just violence. Just out the blue thoughts. Not because I'm even mad. Like, where is this coming from?
Right.
I give you an example. Y'all know I'm past my prime. Basketball days are well over. I'm retired now. I am. Seriously, I picked up a new hobby. I garden. I'm trying to develop a green thumb now. I got a new hobby now. You know what I mean? I can't play no more. But all of a sudden, I just, out the blue, just have this random thought just kind of force itself in my head. And why is it that I see me and myself, and it's like, I don't know whether or not I'm playing one-on-one basketball or team basketball, but it's a teenager. I know he's a teenager. He just going in, talking. And not because he's schooling me. Mind you, I am doing him. I am like, little boy, let me take you down into my office. These blocks is my office. I'm killing him, right? But yeah, he that type of person gonna talk. Sort of remind me of myself. You gonna talk whether you winning or losing. I'm gonna keep on talking. Whether I'm winning or losing, I'm gonna keep on talking. At some point, I ain't like it. I just knocked him out cold. Just bad. Just watched him just lay on the court and then walked off the court like, I told you to shut up. And I'm trying to figure out where these thoughts are coming from. Like, what is really going on, God? Right? See, I understand. That's enough to make you catch a charge. When your child is involved, too. That's enough to make you catch a charge. I'm going to be real about me, right? Give me 14, right? Because I'm getting somewhere. We're talking about the measure of the man, right? No, y'all ain't got 14? For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste. And then the prophet begins to give the word of the Lord. Listen, I know you had an agenda, and I know what you believe. You thinking that it's not enough. But I want you to understand the Lord has said it is enough. For the meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. Until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Mind you, the prophet had prophesied and prayed that no rain would come upon the earth. And for 3 years and about 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. So now, according to the theologians, it's saying this little handful of meal that she could hold in her hand, one hand, little bit of oil, lasted them for a full year. Miraculously lasted them for a full 3 miles. Mind you, she started out, she only has, that's if she truly has enough to feed her and her son. Now, any good parent, they're going to sacrifice themselves and they're going to give their child the most. I'm trying to make it real for you, right? So we don't even know if she had adequate enough supply to feed her and her son an equal portion. But yet now you throw a third mouth into the equation and the Lord said, okay, it is not going to run out until to the Lord send it rain upon the earth. So the theologians are debating about a full year that this handful of meal and this small amount of oil lasted 3 miles for a year. So when you say he's a good God, this I know. He made provision, because we're looking at what we have, and what we have, we know that this is not enough to carry us for the remainder of the week. Oh, but what God can do with a little bit, all it takes is a little bit, and God can speak to that little bit, and God can bless that little bit, and what would have lasted us for another day or so, lasted us for an entire year. Talk about provision. He's the God that causes provision to be seen, but he's not just that. He's also the same God that causes provision to be met. Right? So verse 15, he says what? It says, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Follow the instruction. The blessing is in the instruction. Can you obey? I'm talking about, remember when Jesus told the 10 lepers, go show yourself to the priests. Now, the only time that they're supposed to go and show themselves to the priests is if they believe that they're healed from leprosy. They have full-blown leprosy, but he says, go show yourself to the priest. And while en route to the priest, they became healed. And see, the thing is, can you obey when you don't understand the instruction? Just go get that little bit that you have and you bring it, and we're going to watch God bless this thing, and we're going to let God cause this thing to multiply. We're going to watch God cause that provision to be met. Or can you do it the first time and do it exactly how he says to do it? It doesn't matter whether or not you understand it, but do you have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying? Do you have a heart to obey what God is saying when you don't understand the instruction? And see, a lot of us, we feel like we're struggling, or God has not provided. The truth be told, you have not seen provision, or provision has not been met because you didn't have the heart to obey. Because you figure your logical and analytical mind did not understand it. So this doesn't make sense to me. Let me tell you something. A lot of things God is going to do is not going to make sense. Truth be told, if that was me back in the day, blind, and he spit on my eye, I would have had a problem with Jesus. Because to me, nowadays, I think spitting on somebody is the nastiest thing you could do. No, Jesus, you ain't going to spit on me. Can I'm about no healing. I know you can heal. Hey, I know there's another way to heal me. Thump, you can thump me in my eye. How about thump me in my eye? Let me see. But spit? Nah. You know, see me, I would have been trying to bargain with Jesus. Hold on. Let's try this right here. Right? No, he want to do it in this method. And see, that's the thing. We have a problem with the methodology of God, how God wants to do it. His methodology doesn't make sense to us. We don't agree with his methods of how he goes about doing things. Well, that's why he's God. And you were you. And I am who I am. Right? But they ate many days. Provision was seen and provision was met, right? So verse 16, this is what? And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. The word of the Lord had the ability to cause what was there to be extended. In other words, he had the word caused that small amount that they had to reach into the future, to extend into the future, to last longer than what it was supposed to last. My thing is, if you know God has given you a blessing, because most of us say it's a blessing, it comes from God, right? Well, why didn't the blessing last? If it came from God. He's not an ending giver. He's not giving blessings, then taking them back. Now, you can squander. You can mess up the blessing. But we see this blessing extended into their future, well beyond what they had at their exposure. In verse 17, right? So we're still talking about the measure of you, a man, you the measure of a woman. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. Right? We understand the child represents her promise, her blessing. And it came to pass after these things, after God has provided, right? That the son, her heart, her promise from God, her blessing from God, fell sick, right? And even when you talk about this falling sick, it's talking about what? He became weak. He became weak. Not only did he become weak, right? And he was also talking about he became diseased. And think about situations that might have occurred in our lives that have caused us to become weak. To the point where you just want to give up. I'm just tired of just, I feel like I'm losing. If it's not you feel like you losing, I know I'm going to hurt. So walk down your aisle. Some of y'all feel like, I feel like I'm just failing. I mean, why it seems like success keeps eluding me, escaping me? That's enough to make you become sick, weak. No relationship, no person that you deal with in a relationship tends to work out. And it's somehow it seems to be you keep drawing the same type individual and keep having the same type of results from the previous relationship. And you keep saying to yourself, am I not worthy to be loved? I just want to be loved. And you keep opening your heart. And the more you open your heart keeps getting broken. And you keep giving men a chance, another chance, to at some point you've even contemplated, you know what, men ain't even worth it. See, this will make a woman think about being with another woman. Because they understand me. They know exactly what I feel. I know it is. I know it's really real. It's really real. It'll make you become sick. You watching everybody else around you seem to have a real good relationship with the people that they're in. And then you add Facebook to the equation, Facebook line to your Instagram line. To all these folks are not in no good relationship. They always posting their good moments. Their so-called best moments. They lying to you. They making sure they get the lighting right. Ask them how many times they took that picture before they got the so-called perfect picture. No, come on, take it again. We got to take it again. Now, when it's the dude, he be like, man, God, I don't want to take another picture, man. Two. See, that'll be me. My wife be like, Linky, you didn't smile. I never smile. Take the picture, man. They be standing looking. Man, take the picture, man. Take no picture, man. Right? But understand, that'll make you feel sick. In other words, that'll make you feel weak. Well, you feel you have no hope with having success, having a good relationship. And you think about just giving up on some stuff, right? But it also talks about being diseased. The prefix of that word is this. Situation will come to dis-ease you. Scenarios in life will come to dis-ease you. Right. See, your heart keeps getting broken. God is going to allow this to dis-ease you. Because what he's trying to get you to understand, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. So guess what? I'm allowed this to dis-ease you. I'm going to let you keep getting the same, attract the same type of dude, attract the same type of female. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to let them run all over you. I'm going to let them pay attention to everybody else and not pay attention to you. And you're going to wonder why you keep struggling. You're going to wonder why am I worthy to be loved? Because I'm going to cause this to dis-ease you. I'm going to let it bring discomfort to your life. Why? Until you get your focus in the right direction. Right? So we understand, he's saying he fell sick and his sickness was so sore. When you talk about this word sore, it's talking about it was strong, it was severe. And the truth be told, some of the situations that we deal with in life, some people don't understand how severe it is for you, how traumatic it was for you. Like, they don't understand when they talk about, okay, and you tell them, like, well, we just broke up and all this stuff, and you crying, and then 2 weeks and went by, and you still crying, and some people are like, just move on, just get over it. They don't realize what you invested, though. You put time in. Not only did you put your time in, you invested some of your finances in. Not only did you invest your time and your money, but you put all of you in it. Withholding nothing. I'm going to give them who I am because this is what I expect in return. I ain't got nothing to hide. I'm going to give you the real me. I want just you. I don't want nobody else. My eyes are for you. But when you don't get that in return, oh, it's devastating to you because you're trying to figure out, I gave you all of me. I was willing to give you everything that I had. Why would you not get this back to me in return? What is it about me that you couldn't love me the way I love you? That thing will make you become weak, feeling sick. Uneasy, uncomfortable, and make you sore. People don't talk about how much their heart has ached. When their heart has been broken, how much they felt pain and sorrow in their heart. And then other, you got people in their ear talking about, just move on. There's other fish in the sea. I don't want no other fish. Isn't that the truth that some of us do? I want that one right there. I want that fish. And we say crazy stuff, even though that fish has mistreated you. Yes, you don't understand. Some of us, we don't understand that. Now, the truth be told, some stuff I just don't want to understand. I just don't. Some stuff I just do not want to understand. But I get it. That's what floats your boat. That's what rocks you. That's how you get down. But we're trying to tell you there is a more excellent way. There is a more excellent way. But what it goes to show is the measure of who you are is so low. Self-esteem has been torn down. Self-worth has been torn down. Image has been torn down. Still trying to figure out who you are. Because the reality, you keep going from this man to this man because you're really looking for your daddy because your daddy was absent. Oh, yeah. He was at home, but he was still not present. Oh, yeah. Some of your fathers, they work too much, you know. They was occupied, preoccupied with other things. And whenever you would come to try to get some of their time, move, stop, go sit down somewhere. Shut up. Oh, I ain't gonna get no help right there. Yeah, I know I got some people in the room that know what I'm talking about. And you made a promise when I have a baby, I'm not gonna do my child like that. And you doing the same thing. Stop, the stories are on. I need to see Mari. All this nonsense that you trying to watch on TV. And if it's a man, listen, the game is on, man. Trying to watch the game, go sit out. And your baby just saying, can you just read me a book? Can you come tuck me in? You too busy to do that? Reality, some of us have deceived ourselves. We really believe that we're too busy to do those small things in the lives of our children. That's going to impact their lives for the rest of their lives. I want to be able to do something for my child. And I'm not just talking about no money. Time. Time is your most valuable asset. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. Guess what? You can spend money. You can spend time. But guess what? You can't go. Ain't like you can go and restock time. You can restack money, but you can't restock no time. I want to make sure I leave an impression in the lives of my children. The best way to do that is to be present. Right? So understand, this sickness was so severe, it was strong. And a lot of times, we underestimate the pain that people feel. and breakups, heartbreaks, and when life, when they feel like life is throwing them a curveball, when life is unfair, and they're trying to figure out, what did I do to deserve this right here? I've been doing everything right. And it looked like out of nowhere I was blindsided. That thing will make that person become so sore that now they're struggling with trusting. Not only are they struggling with trusting, they're struggling with hope. They're dealing with hopelessness and despair. They're heavy. And see, this is what this gives space to the enemy, for the enemy to come and just say, you know what, just give up. This is where thoughts of suicide has the ability to now enter in. It's not even worth it. The enemy will feed you. Why it's not even worth it? The enemy will tell you, don't nobody love you. Don't nobody care about you. The enemy will tell you, it's never going to get better. It's going to always be like this. But you ought to tell yourself, no, it ain't going to think, it's not going to always be like this. Give me 18. He says, what? He said, and she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Because usually when the prophets come, they didn't know whether a word of judgment or judgment was coming. And so now she's looking at how this thing is unfolding. My son is sick. Wait a minute. Is this a sign from God that you come to deal with my sin? Is this why this is happening? And see, a lot of us believe why some things are taking place. For most of you, let's be all the way real. Some things are happening because there is sin present in your life. Very much so. Some things are happening in your life with that because of your sin. And let's call it what it is. We're not talking about no issue. We're not talking about no struggle. Because now with the church, we want to call everything an issue and a struggle. No, it's sin. It's sin. From the pulpit to the door, it's sin. Right? And some of it is just, let's say, there is no way to put, sin is just sin in the eyes of God. You know, with the exception of when you blaspheme his Holy Ghost. No, he says, no, there is no forgiveness for this. Some things he called an abomination. You know, but we've been taught to say sin is just sin. No. What I understand about God, God categorizes his sin. He measures some things. Oh, yes, right? So she want to know, have you come to call my sin to remembrance and slay my son? But she had the presence of mind to ask the man of God that, is this because of my sin? See, nobody won't do that. They want everybody to feel sorry for that. Is this happening? Why is this happening to me? No, it is because of your sin. It is because you have a deaf ear to hear what the Lord is saying to you. It is because your heart is hardened. You are not convicted by the word of God anymore. Nothing moves you. That's why this is happening. Because you failed to obey what God has been speaking concerning your life. You fail to take heed to the warning. These are all things that come by way of the word of God, right? That sometimes we just overlook. Well, Dad, he wasn't talking to me. What do you mean he wasn't talking to you? Some of us feel like, okay, well, if he didn't call my name, he wasn't. No, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. Give me verse 19. This is what? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. Right? Now, we understand the bed is symbolic for the altar. Let me take it to the place. Because understand the altars are where the interaction takes place between the divine and the natural. Let me take it to this place where we can get an encounter from God. And see, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that God has people mindful of me and my situation. That when I've reached my limit, when I've reached my level, I've gone as far as high as I can go. God will send somebody that can take this thing in a little bit higher, that can take this thing deeper in prayer and say, come on, I got you. Come on, just give it to me. Give it to me. And I'm going to take it. And he took her promise and he took her blessing. And he said he carried it up to the personal loft, his personal bedroom, and laid it on his personal bed. This is my altar right here, God. This is where you come and speak to me. This is where you come and have an encounter with me. This is where you come and deal with me at right here, God. Only thing I know to do, God, is lay him on the altar, God. What problem? Take it to the altar. What situation?
that is too hard, too difficult for my God. Take it to the altar. And what I found out, many people are afraid of the altar. You don't find folk going to the altar anymore. But you need to understand, it's at the altar where God deals with the issues of life. It's at the altar where God comes and transforms the heart. It's at the altar where lives are changed. It's at the altar where deliverance takes place. It's at the altar where the consuming fire comes and it burns away everything that's impure. It's at the altar where God resurrects those things that are dead, that dead promise. Oh, he can resurrect it at the altar. If you would just get man and woman up and measure up and say, God, I need help, and bring it to the altar. Oh. He took that blessing to the altar. And I can just imagine, he's saying, God, you gave this woman this child. God, this is a blessing from you, God. Surely, God, you not call this thing to die premature, God. Oh, but you got a plan for his life, God. You got a purpose for his life, God. There is a call that's on his life, God. There is anointing that is on his life, God. Don't let him die prematurely, God, without purpose being fulfilled, God. Hear me, God, as your servant, God, as I stand in the gap, God, praying, God, for this seed, as I stand in the gap praying, God, for this woman, God. You know what is troubling the heart of this woman, God. Oh, I can imagine the man of God praying prophetically, God, move. Whew. I can imagine him praying prophetically, God, move. It's not by power, nor is it by mind, but it's by your spirit, and by your spirit, God, move. He said, what? And he cried unto the Lord. See, it's one thing when you cry, but it ought to make you feel real good to know that somebody else is willing to come alongside you and cry with you and to cry for you on your behalf. God was sending a prophetic intercessor who can see beyond the situation. I know what we're currently faced with right now, but I want to see on the other side of this storm right here. I want to see on the other side of this sickness right here and tell you that it's going to be all right. Tell you that God is going to be magnified. Tell you that God is going to be glorified. Tell you that God is going to do it. Tell you that it's not too hard for God. Tell you, you watch God do it. And he cried unto the Lord and said, oh Lord, my God. See, there was no mistake, and he understood. This is a situation for my Lord. Saying, you have the authority, God. You are in control, God. I don't care what sickness or disease has attacked this body. You are Lord even over the disease, God. You are Lord even over this sickness, God. You are Lord, God, over this breakup. You are Lord over this heartbreak, God. You are Lord over this traumatic situation, God. You are Lord over this tragedy, God. You are Lord over these issues of life, God. You have the authority as God to change it, God. If you see fit to change it, I know that you can change it. But he said, has thou brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? I need to know, God, is it your will, God? Are you saying for him to die, God? Is this your will? Yeah, you got to ask him the real tough question. Is this your will for the child to die, God? Was it something, some sin that she's committed that warranted the death of the child, God? See, a lot of times we want to just approach God and God do it. But I like it. He said, no, we got to start right here. God, is it your will? Oh, because what I'm saying is, God, I know that she's guilty of some things, God. I know that I'm guilty of some things, God. But is it your will, God, for me to lose? Is it your will for me to continue to have a loss in my life, God? To have things taken away from me? Is it your will, God? See, things can change when you man up, when you woman up and just be willing to stand flat footed and tell the truth. It's me, God. When my back was up against the wall, I lied, God. I thought it was just easy to get out, God. It just seemed to be the only thing I know to do, God. My nature took over, God. I became emotional, God. And before I know it, God, I lied, God. It was too easy, God, to give my opinion, God, to express what I thought and express what I feel, God, rather than just keep my mouth closed and bear the rebuke, God. I had to put my two cents out there, God. Is this happening because I got full of myself? Is this happening because I walked in pride? God, it's me, God. I was being prideful, God. I was full of pride, God. But you said to humble myself, humble myself, humble myself. And the truth of the matter is, God, I struggle with humbling myself, God, because I've always felt like I've been down, God. I've always felt like people were above me, God, and I was beneath them, God. And I've always felt like people were just walking over me, God. And I felt like, God, this time in my life, some things have got to change, God. And it starts right now, God. So that's why I said what I said, God, when I said it, God. And no, I ain't sorry. No, I don't apologize, God. Was it wrong? Yes, it was wrong. I admit, I confess that it was wrong, God. But I don't feel sorry, God. Well, that may be the reason why some things are happening. But God don't have an issue with you being honest and, hey, it's what I felt. I don't feel sorry for saying it either. But guess what? You got to deal with those consequences. For every choice you make, there is a consequence that follows it. Oh, yes. What measure of man are you? What measure of woman are you? After you make the choice, can you bear the consequences that follows your choice? Too long we played the game. I didn't know. The devil is a lie. You knew. And if you fail to weigh out your options, analyze the situation, shame on you with your analytical self. Oh, understand, we dealing with some analytical people. That's why faith is not produced in their life. Why? Because they're too busy trying to analyze stuff and not walk by faith. I need to know, God, is this your will that the child dies, God? He says what? 21, he says what? And he stressed himself upon the child 3 times. Stress in the Hebrew was talking about he measured himself. Now the child being sick, this is the situation. But I sent the prophet, I sent the man of God who has the capability, the ability to stretch himself out and cover this situation. Oh, I sent somebody that has enough anointing to cover this situation. I sent somebody that has enough authority to cover and speak to this situation. I sent somebody that has enough God presence and enough God power on the inside that he can stretch out and cover the son. I wish I had one of your sons in here with me right now. You ain't gonna go get one of them? We're gonna illustrate this thing. Oh, Josiah, hurry up, Josiah! This is his son. This is your son. You got to lay crossing. Get on the stage so they can see you lay crossing. Because you got enough to cover. Don't be scared, Josiah. You just got to lay crossing. Josiah looking like, man, daddy, daddy. Oh, yeah. I got enough authority in me to cover this situation. All of the lust that's trying to rise up, all of the rebellion that's trying to rise up, all of the perversion that's trying to rise up. Oh yeah, I got enough in me to cover this child. I got enough to speak to the dead issue. I got enough to speak to the generational, the bloodline curse and cover that. My child will be delivered. My child will be set free. My child will walk in the things of God. Why? Because when I stretch myself out, there is enough authority. There is enough power. There is enough anointing to cover this situation. I got him covered. 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 It says he laid on it 3 times. You got to get up. You got to go back and lay on him again. Because we checking for a pulse. I don't feel nothing yet. And guess what? See, most of us, we get tired after we do it the first time. God not going to move. But I thank God for endurance. I thank God for persistence. When it didn't seem to work out the first time, don't you give up. You give up too quick. You give up too soon. He went back for the second time and he prayed again. God, come on, God. You are my Lord. You are my God. Touch him, God. You got to get up again. Understand, everything that's trying to take him out, premature death trying to take him out, suicide trying to take him out, lust of the eyes is trying to take him out, lust of the flesh is trying to take him out, pride of life is trying to take him out, witchcraft is trying to take him out, rebellion is trying to take him out, anger and malice is trying to take him out, unforgiveness and bitterness is trying to take him out. Oh, but I went back the third time. The Bible says he laid on it 3 times. He stretched himself out. I have enough power. I have enough prayer life in me. I have enough authority. I have enough power. I have enough of his presence that when he laid the third time and said, oh Lord, my God. Come on. You got to say it. Oh Lord, my God.
Oh Lord, my God.
Come on, say it again.
Oh Lord, my God.
Let this house
oh Lord, my God. Let this child's soul come into him again.
So on the third time he prayed, oh Lord my God, I pray. I done laid him and stressed out on him two times, God, and nothing happened. Oh, but God, I got one more time in me, God. I got enough endurance to go back a third time, God. Even when it seems like I was defeated the first two times. Even when it seemed like my prayer, they didn't get past the ceiling the first two times, God. Even when it seemed like, God, you had a deaf ear towards me, God. Even when it seemed like, God, that you were so far away from me, God. I got enough perseverance. I got enough endurance. I got enough persistency. I got enough hope. I got enough life. I got enough power. I got enough authority. I got enough faith to believe that, God. Oh Lord, my God, I pray thee, let the soul of this child come back into him again. All right, you can get up. Just want to illustrate it. It's when he prayed it the third time that the boy began to rise up. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Give me verse number 22. That the boy began to rise up. It said, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he was revived. Help him get on up. Help him get up off the altar, right? He says in 23, he says what? And Elijah took the child. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. Take him to his mother. Oh yeah, I'm a new child. One that's gonna walk in the things of God. Your name is not just Josiah just because, but your name is Josiah because you've been called and anointed by God. Your name is Josiah because God is gonna use you. You're gonna be an example in the high school. You're gonna stand and pray where others wanna walk in, where others wanna fall to everything. There is gonna be a difference in about you. Take a new child to his mother and let her know that this child has been called of God. This child has been used of God. This child has been anointed by God. This child has a plan and purpose from God. This child will not be like every other child. There is a difference about this child. Here. And he presented this child to his mother. And Elijah said, see? Confident. See. Whew. Go ahead and tell somebody, see. Oh! The best is yet to come. You need to see. You're experiencing a little bit of hard and difficult times right now. But on the other side of difficult, on the other side of this storm, on the other side of uncomfortability, on the other side of being challenged, you need to see. That was dead, yeah, it can live again. That had no life, it can be revived. It can be brought back. He said with confidence, see? Your son is living. Your promise is alive. See, I don't know about you. See, there are many promises that I thought were dead because of time. Well, maybe it's just not going to happen, or maybe I just messed it up and I got to take some responsibility. Some promises I ain't even want anymore. But what God said, he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand and remain forever. I don't care, everything in your life can pass away, but what I said, it shall come to pass. What I said, it will happen. See, thy son liveth. Give me 24, he says, what? And the woman said unto Elijah, now. See, y'all didn't even know y'all was in the scripture. Now, by this I know. This I know. Now, by this I know that you are a man of God. I know God sent you in my hopeless situation. See, some of us are trying to figure out why we connected to certain people. Because God sent me. Yes, he did. You may not like my delivery. You might not like my approach. You might not like my methodology. But one thing is certain. God sent me. He said, now by this, I know that you are a man of God. But not only that, that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. The words in your mouth, they are truth. We didn't say true, because there's a difference between truth and truth. Truth. The words in your mouth are absolute. Oh, yeah. I know it came straight out of heaven. If you would just have an ear to hear, things can turn around just like that. If we would have an ear to hear, things can be revived just like that. God can speak to dead things and command them to come back to life again. Just like that. I don't know, maybe some of you need a situation where God to prove himself. Because in the book of Thessalonians, he said, prove all things. And God is not asking you to do anything that he himself has not done. God is not afraid of you challenging him. He's not afraid of your questions, your concerns, your opinions, none of that stuff. Some days I say, prove it, God. Prove that you're going to do it. Show me that you're going to do it. Show me that you're God. He don't have no problem showing that he God. He says, what? Our last scripture. Or is that the last one? That was the last one? I thought it was a 25. Okay. Well, the truth of the matter is, she saw what measure of man he was. One, because he obeyed God. And see, we told you God is measuring you differently than how the world measures you. The world measures you based upon your economic status, your Facebook status, your relationship status, all these different things. But God is measuring you based on different set of things that he's measuring you by. He was measured by his obedience to God. Get up and go to Zarephath. I got a widow woman who's going to sustain you. So the woman understood what measure of man he was because he obeyed God. What I'm trying to tell you is God's opinion matters most over anybody in this world. How does God measure you? And you have been measured according to your obedience. His obedience was to the T. He did exactly what God says so that the woman knew what measure man he was. If we look at you, how would you measure up? Because Christ obeyed even unto death. That's why he was measured to be the Messiah. He had the obedience of a Messiah. How will you measure up when God comes to check your obedience? And see, most people think, okay, well, if I just obey God. No. Honor is a big code. Honor is a big thing for God. How did you handle that man, that woman? How did you handle your mother, your father? How did you handle that elderly person when they gave you an instruction? How did you handle the person, your boss on the job, when they gave you an instruction that you did not like? If you rolled your eyes, then guess what? You came up short. If there was an oppositional thought in your mind, you came up short. And you need to understand God is measuring you according to these things. You've been measured according to your obedience. It's not just your obedience to God. Because he said, obey those that have rule over you. If you don't own your own company and you're working for somebody, guess what? Somebody has rule over you. And if you are not obeying them, then guess what? You're not measuring up. It's safe to say that you're doing a piss poor job on your job. Oh, yes. And you get mad when folk don't recommend you for a raise. You got something to say when you think you should be promoted.
You want to know if you're ready for promotion? When we put a small task in your hand, if you don't handle the small task, why you think we're about to give you a large area to go mess up? I'm in the book, right? And then we got all kind of things to say about our job. We go and gossip about our bosses. Talk about how we think they got favors and all these different things. And it may be true, they may have favors. But what gives you the right to put your mouth on them? Because my Bible tells me, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth shall he also reap. In like manner, how you put your mouth on somebody, oh, it's going to come back to you. But it's not going to come how you gave it. It's going to come back super duper worse. And most of us are not even built to handle that. We're not even built to handle what we've given out. Somebody talk about you. Like folk on Facebook be talking about you. They don't respond to your text. You get mad. They're not my friend anymore. Why? Because they ain't like your comment. That goes to show you weak-minded right there, because they didn't give you a thumbs up. You ready to unfriend them. You ain't following them no more. What a deception. So, said all this to say, what measure, man, what measure, woman, are you? You have been measured according to your obedience in all spheres of the world. It's not just a God thing, talking about a church or religion thing, because the earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof, everything belongs to him. So your obedience is on display at all times. So he's measuring at all times, whether you obey or disobey. So how would you measure up? We know you grown, 24 plus 5 and all these different things. What does that matter? What does that matter? Amen?